I had freshly become your senior pastor. Yes. Oh, wow, no one's even excited. I freshly became your pastor. Yes. Yes, thank you, Dean. Thank you. Freshly became the pastor. I came in. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm looking around. People are looking at me. I'm looking at them. We're both confused. I don't know where. And I remember talking to some people and asking opinions and thoughts and stuff. And one of the things that I really wanted to do is I wanted to try to have an impact and meet a need in the community. And so we started a little bit of a committee. We had a few people. It was myself and Aaron and I think Michael and Steph. I think they weren't married yet. They were but engaged. I don't even know if they were engaged. And then our friends Nate and Leah, and we had some other people who helped us as well. And we just started dreaming about some things that we wanted to do. And we said, you know, wouldn't it be cool to meet a need in the community? We know that kids are going back to school in the fall. And, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we were able to come up with 100 backpacks for these kids? And so we started dreaming. We're like, we need a cool name. We need a fun name. We need an exciting name. And so we were like, let's call it the party party. Let's call it the jingle party. Let's call it. And so we ended up coming. I think Leah was like, let's call it the lot party. Lot stands for love on Taylor. We're like, yeah, we love it. And so we had this dream of reaching some people. I think this was, I guess, the second year we were here. And so we had our back to school lot party the second year we were here. We gave away 100 backpacks. And I remember us being a little overwhelmed with 100 backpacks and all the supplies that come with it. And some lady blessed us. She bought all the backpacks for us. And we're like, okay, cool. And we've just been kind of doing it every year. I remember a couple years ago, it was the week of our back to school outreach. And we always do it the second or last week in August. It was the week of. And I had a bunch of people cancel on me. And our house flooded the day before. I don't know if you guys remember that. Our house flooded the day before. Actually, Dean, I think you came over and brought me your pumps. And it wrecked our basement. It was bad. And I remember we were short-staffed, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do this again. I was, like, so worn out afterwards. And that was 2 years ago. And then last year, the Lord made our path straight, and he provided for us with the helpers, with the finances, with more than we could imagine. And it's weird, this year too, I feel like God has done the same thing. We've gotten some donations at our work. My work donated $1,500, which we actually just got the check today, which is pretty awesome. We also have a great connection with Randall over at the lodge, where the Shriners are going to come out and drive their little cars around. And then she isn't here today, but Sherry has put it under her belt that she's going to go out and purchase a bunch of backpacks. She already has a bunch of backpacks for us. And so, you know, I really feel like God is behind us this year, and I'm really excited. And so today, it's kind of our lot party Sunday. I know we've kind of done some crazy things in the past where we've had Batman show up, and we've kind of had mixed reactions to Batman. It seems like the congregation loves him, but when he goes down with the kids, they scream. And so we're like, you know what, maybe we'll hold off on Batman this year. And actually this year, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're actually, instead of having Batman, we're talking about having Superman instead. I know, scandalous, crazy, but we're thinking about mixing things up a little bit this year. But really, the heart of it is we just want to, no strings attached, love on the community, and show them that we're here, and show them that we care for them, and show them that we can meet a need. We have people that come and do haircuts. We have people that do face painting. There's a sign-up sheet in the lobby. Really, if you want to be a part, there's three ways. Can you guys say three ways? There's three ways that you can be a part. Number one, and this is probably the most important one, is to pray. Man, we need the Lord to go before us, and we need the Lord to soften hearts, and we need the Lord to bless all the seeds that we're planting. Like, I always say that every single backpack is a seed that we're giving, and every single bag of popcorn, Dave. Can we give Dave a hand? He showed up today and made us some popcorn. Make sure that you get some popcorn from him today. Every single bag of popcorn that we give away, we're planting seeds. Every single hot dog that we give away, we're planting seeds. Every single face that we're painting, we're planting seeds. And so really praying that the seeds that were planted are seeds that go forth and that grow and that bless someone and that shows to really point someone to Jesus. So first of all, man, if you can pray, that'd be awesome. The second thing that you can do outside of prayer, hold on, I wrote down some notes, but I went a little rogue here. The second thing that you can do outside of prayer is you can sign up to help. We would love your help. We would love your assistance. Really, it's only 11, 12, 1, 2. It's only 3 hours. On Saturday, August 23rd, we get here a little bit early, so maybe 4 hours, and we'd love your help. Just some extra hands. We need people to help with the bounce house, help with the face painting, help with the security, help with the characters. That's where Rabia just came in, the characters. We have different spots where you can sign up, and we have two different time slots, and we have food in between. And so you actually don't even have to be there the whole time, actually only about an hour and a half. And so if you're interested, we would love your help. So pray, help. And then the third thing is starting next Sunday, we're going to have, actually it's already out there, there's a lot party bin. And so if you're out and about and you happen to see school supplies on sale, we would love for you to grab some, whether it's pencils or some erasers or some rulers or some knives. No, just kidding. Or whatever. We encourage you to grab it and drop it off in our lot party bin. And we're going to have a theme every week. And so this week, if you're out and about and you see notebooks for sale, grab some notebooks, drop them off. This container will be here for the next month and a half as we collect supplies for the lot party. And so super excited about it this year. I really feel like God has opened some doors financially for us, that God has opened up some doors for us, for people that are going to help with the lodge and also with my work and with Michael's work. And I actually reached out to the Downriver Foster Closet yesterday. And I asked them if they'd like to come and be a part, and they said yes. So they're going to come, and they're going to bring some helpers, and they're going to set up a tent, and they're going to tell people about foster care, which is really cool. So a lot of cool things that are going on. So, but what I want you guys to think about for a moment, I want you to think a little bit outside. So we're thinking about, here we are. We're in Taylor, Michigan. We are here, and we have been here for, when was the church planted? 1948, I think it was. So how many years is that? That's like 70, what is that? 77 years. Am I right with the date, Don? 1948? I think so. We've been here for 77 years. So I think here we are. We're in this community. And I want to ask you a question. And I have a special prize for you, okay? So this is, I want you to get within 1,000. If you can get within 1,000, that's the differential. How many of you guys know the population of Taylor? Any guesses? What's that? Ha, 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 ha. No. 41,000? Nope. 3,500 in Taylor? No. What? No. Oh, you're very close. No. No. Yes! Let's give Lisa a hand. Okay. All right, second question. I want you guys to think outside of the church today. I want you to think about the neighborhood around us, okay? What is the average income? And I'll do it again within $1,000, okay? The average income of someone who lives in the city of Taylor. What do you think? What's that? Nope. What did you say? You're very close. Nope. Nope. Oh, Lisa! Oh, my goodness. This lady knows the city well. Oh, my goodness. 41,000. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Oh, man. Lisa, did you look at my notes?
No.
Okay. What is the median? And I'll give you within $1,000. What is the median house value of a house in Taylor? 200,000? That's just because you're selling a house right now, Judy. No. She's trying to drive up the values. She's like, 500,000, 200,000. Nope, nope. Oh, you're close. Nope. Oh, my goodness, Lisa. This is getting weird now. All right. We're going to do two more, okay? Lisa, why are you dominating this game? All right, she's going to get all the candy. All right. Okay, this is a little bit, I'll give you within one percentage. Okay, within one percentage. People living in the poverty level in Taylor. 45%? Wow, nope. What did you say? You were very close. 16.7. No one's excited? Okay, sorry. Last question. This is an interesting one. How many cities are comprised, and this is more of a bigger question, how many cities are comprised in the Downriver area? And she did look at my notes. Oh, my goodness. All right. Oh, man. Lord, we just thank you that we live in this great city. God, I thank you that we are in this great spot where we are, man, really in the center of Taylor. I mean, Taylor Christian Center. That's why it was named that, because we were on the crossroads of the center of Taylor. And I pray today, God, that we'll use our advantages and that we'll use what you've given us to reach our community and to love people unconditionally, Father. I thank you that you've opened up some roads for us to do some things to make a difference in the community. And God, even though it's hard work and even though it's difficult at times, God, man, I feel like you've shown us that this is where you want us to go and what you want us to do. And God, I pray that you'll bless our endeavors with our outreach coming up in a month and a half. I pray that you'll bless the seeds that we plant, and I pray that you will go before us and do the miraculous. In your holy name, amen. All right, enough of that. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. And Jesus had been, I'm going to kind of back you up for a minute. Jesus had been doing some cool stuff. In fact, this is leading into Matthew chapter 15. And Matthew chapter 5, I'm reading this. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Leading into Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 4, that it says that Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. Then his fame went through all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Isn't that beautiful? So his fame was growing. They brought him people and he healed them. It doesn't say that he healed some of them. It didn't say that he healed one of them or two of them or three of them, but he healed all of them. Man, if you knew that Jesus was going to heal someone, and if you knew that you were going through something or your friend was going through something, like we talked about this a little bit last week about intercession, the power of intercession, like bringing people to Jesus. And so these people are just bringing people to Jesus and he's healing them. And it says, great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and beyond the Jordan. And so these people are following Jesus and they're pursuing Jesus because he's healing them and he's doing the miraculous. And it says in Matthew chapter 5, again, this is kind of given the context for Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. It says, and then when he saw the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. So he goes up to the mountain and he begins to teach the people on the mountain. And really from Matthew chapter 5, going all the way through the chapter, this is the one of the most powerful passages of Scripture where Jesus gives his Sermon on the Mount, where he gives the Beatitudes. He talks about blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are the hungry, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in spirit, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who are persecuted. And so he's just speaking. He's healing people. He's doing the miraculous. His fame is spreading. He goes up on the mountain. He's speaking to the disciples. He's speaking to the crowds. He gives the Sermon on the Mount. He's just giving this amazing message. And here on the Sermon on the Mount, it says in Matthew, again, 5 verses 13 through 16, he said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. And you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I'm going to read that one more time. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So here in the text, Jesus is speaking to the crowds, and he's also speaking to his disciples. The crowds and his disciples. And he gives them two factual statements. He gives them two statements, and then he expounds on the statements. So it makes it easy for preaching, because he gives two points, and he expounds on it. It's like, Jesus was a natural teacher, I guess. So he gives two factual points. The two points are this. First of all, you are the salt of the earth. Can you guys say that? You are the salt of the earth. Say it one more time. You're the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. The second one is, you are the light of the world. Say it one more time like you mean it. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Salt and light. Salt and light. And then he expounds on it. I was thinking about the significance of salt for a moment, and I thought, wow, isn't that interesting? Salt is sodium chloride. A lot of times magnesium carbonate or iodine is added to it. But salt really has, man, in some ways I feel like it would have been better in this moment, instead of Jesus calling people salt and light, to call them something maybe more exciting. Like maybe he could have called them warriors and cheetahs, or I don't know, something cool. But you're salt and light. But salt, man, it's really just sodium chloride. It's a natural element, but it's really meant for two different things, okay? And so Jesus is making the statement, and he's trying to encourage his disciples and encourage the crowd. Salt is used for two different things. First of all, salt is used to preserve. Can you guys say preserve? It's meant to preserve. Salt is meant to preserve. Now, you might be here this morning, and maybe you were born after the year 2000 or after the year 1990 or whatever. I don't even know when refrigerators were invented. But you're like, what? Well, like, what do you mean that salt is meant to preserve? And you got to remember that Jesus was speaking to crowds of people, and this was over 2,000 years ago. So he's speaking to these. This was before modern refrigeration. How many of you guys are thankful for your refrigerator? Raise your hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you guys are thankful for air conditioning when it works? Oh, praise the Lord. Man, when Aaron and I first got married, we were given a house. We actually bought a house, and we paid quite a bit of money for it. We got in, and we were just newlyweds, and I was working as a teller at the bank, and I wasn't making much money, and so I was playing racquetball with a guy at the Zodiac in Southgate, and I told him that I got a house. He was like, "Wow, that's really exciting. That's cool." He's like, "Is the house ready for you to move in?" I'm like, "I have no idea." And so he comes in, and Aaron, do you remember this? They mudded our house, and they painted our whole house, and they also gave us some appliances, which was really cool. They gave us an almond fridge. Wasn't it almond color? An almond fridge, and they gave us an electric stove. I think it was a white stove. Was it a white stove, or was it a black stove, brown stove? I don't remember. And then my father-in-law and my mother-in-law as well, they bought us a dishwasher. And so we had a white dishwasher, we had a brown stove, we had an almond fridge, and the stove was electric. I remember it shorted out and almost burned the house down. I tried to fix it, and I didn't fix it properly, go figure. And it burned, it like zapped again, and I was like, oh my goodness, I guess I'm not an electrician. And Paul knows this quite well. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm not an electrician. I did some electrical work with Paul a while ago. He's like, I'm surprised you didn't blow your house up. I'm like, oh. So don't call me to do your electrical work, okay? So I got this stove. It's like, okay. And I got this fridge, and it was kind of a piece of junk, but it lasted us for a little while, and it kept on freezing up, the freezer on the top freezing up, and when it froze up on the top, then the bottom would get warm, and there'd be water, and so I'd go in there and break up the ice, and it'd just keep on doing the same. I don't know what was wrong with it, but about every 3 weeks, I'd go in, I'd break up the ice, and I would fix it, and I don't know, so. But all that to say, like, man, this was before modern refrigeration. This was before refrigerators, and salt was used as a way of preserving food so that it wouldn't go bad, it wouldn't spoil. Salt delayed the decaying process, and it helped preserve the food for an extended period of time. So salt was incredibly valuable. It was so valuable that the Romans would often pay their soldiers partially with salt. It was very, very valuable. So you might say, okay, so that's interesting. So I wonder why salt, like, how is that applicable for me today? And I don't know if you know this, but sadly, we live in a world that's filled with sin. And sadly, we live in a world that's decaying. We live in a world that's rotting. You know, I don't know if you've turned on the news lately or if you've seen what's going on in the world, but it's kind of crazy. There's wars that are happening. We have Israel and Hamas and Ukraine and Russia. We have all the things that are happening with our politics and inflation and unemployment and sin being celebrated. We have all sorts of things that are happening all over the world, all over our streets, all over our city, right? The world is decaying. And you are the salt that provides purity and preservation through Jesus Christ. The world has a sin problem, but we have the cure. We have Jesus. In Romans chapter 6, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Man. The world is decaying with sin, but we are called to be salt. We're called to be people that preserve. We're called to be people that stand out and that are different. Salt delays the decaying process, and it preserves the food. What he's implying is that you can have a delaying effect on this decaying world. Maybe you can speak life into someone that's hurting, or maybe you can lend an ear to someone that needs to hear something. Salt preserves. But also, not only does salt preserve, but also salt flavors. Can you guys say flavors? It flavors. Salt turns bland food into something delicious. Salt turns bland food into something delicious. We were just at Chick-fil-A the other day, and Genevieve decided that she wanted to mix barbecue sauce with Chick-fil-A sauce with salt. Like, that's weird and disgusting, but she loved it. Salt turns something bland into something delicious, man. And Jesus issues this sober warning. If salt loses its taste, it becomes useless. Now I wonder, how do I know if I've lost my saltiness? How do I know? What did you say? Exactly, your blood pressure is going to go down. Man, how do I know if I've lost my saltiness? I think one of the things that we can know is if we've lost our saltiness, we blend in with the world so that when someone looks at us, they can't tell any difference between us and this rotting world. We just blend in. You know? Someone looks at you and they're like, oh, wait, you're a Christian? I had no idea. Like when we would just totally blend in with the world. You know, when our fridge went out, one of the many times, our crazy almond fridge went out, one of the many times, I remember what we'd do is we would take the food and we would put it in the we'd put it in the garage because it was winter out. We'd keep it cold. But if we would have taken that same food and if it would have been summer, taking that same food and just left it in the fridge and just waited for a while, when we opened up the fridge, we would find that everything would be rotten. Everything would look disgusting. I remember when I was in college, my mom would often pack me ham sandwiches for lunch. And instead of telling her that I didn't like ham sandwiches, I would just take them and I would toss them under the seat in my car. And so I was a young, silly kid. And so I just tossed in the ham sandwiches. And I forgot about them. There was like five of them that were in the bottom of it was under the passenger seat in my car. And one of my friends was riding with me, and he ended up pulling the seat up. And under the seat were about five ham sandwiches that had grown legs and arms and feet, and they were talking to me. They were disgusting. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, one of the things that we can tell, if you're looking at your life, you're like, man, I'm not sure if I can tell a difference between me and the world. Perhaps you've lost your saltiness. You look and you're like, you know what? The same things that they're doing, I'm doing. The same places that they're going, I'm going. The same things that that are happening with them. I have no problem hanging around rot. I have no problem. I don't even smell it anymore. It's just, you know, whatever. Like I can just be there and you become desensitized. I wonder, have we lost our saltiness? You know? Have you lost your saltiness? Are you okay watching things on TV that are inappropriate, or are you okay going to movies that are you okay with the things that, have you lost your saltiness? We're meant to be different. We're meant to be of the world, but not of the world. Right? Salt is meant to preserve, but salt is also meant to flavor. And the crazy thing is when salt is flavoring something, it makes it different. It makes it more appeasing. I mean, unless you're just like, it makes it more appeasing. It makes it more delightful to the taste. And really what should happen is when someone sees someone that has salt in their life, they should see them and they'll be like, you know what? I want that. I desire that. How can you have peace in the storm? How can you have confidence when life is difficult? How can you be encouraged when, how can you pray every, like there's something different about you. There's a flavor that's different about you. You know what I'm talking about? God has called us to be salt. Salt preserves, but also salt has a flavor to it. Am I salty? Am I different? Or am I blending in with the world around me? Am I bringing life? Am I bringing hope? Am I bringing joy? Or am I just blending in with the world around me? God has called us to be salt. God has called us to be different. Amen? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Can you say light of the world one more time? Light of the world. Light really has one job, and that one job is to shine. Our faith should not be hidden, but it's meant to shine. Liz, could you cut the lights real quick? all of the lights. Perfect. All right, so you can see me fairly clearly. What about now? No, just kidding. Light is meant to shine. Can you see that? A little bit? Now, a light is important, but the light is not as effective. Actually, if all the lights were off, you'd really be able to see the significance of this. But if you go over here and turn the lights. Actually, just turn the lights back on for a second. So you can still see it, but it's not quite as effective, right? Turn the lights back off again. Turn them back on. Off. On. Off. Just leave them off for a second. Off for a second. Okay, sorry. All right, so it's interesting because the light is, really meant to show light in dark places, right? I see you guys. I see you, Katie. Sorry, I'm not meaning to point this in your eyes. I see you guys. Your light is meant to shine in dark places. It's one thing for your light to shine in a light place, but it's another thing for your light to shine in dark places, right? Turn the light back on again. I can imagine Jesus is teaching the crowds, and he's teaching them, and maybe it's getting later at night, and he's pointing up to a city. In fact, there was a city on the hill, and I forget what the name of the city was, but I can imagine him pointing up to the city as it's getting dark, and he's like, hey, listen, you are the light of the world, as he's pointing up to the city. You see that city up there? That city is providing light. It's illuminating the darkness, right? He's pointing up. He's like, you are the light on the hill. You are a city on the hill. You should not hide the light. You need to make sure that you're shining your light in dark places, you know? I guess I kind of wonder, when I think about the things that we do corporately as a church, are we shining the light in dark places? It's one thing to shine the light in light places. It's one thing to shine the light on a Sunday morning and to shine the light on, during Bible study. Like, that's cool, that's great. But are we shining the light in dark places? I think about we just talked about our back to school, our lot party, shining the light in dark places. I remember last year we for the first time ever, we took part in the Hollapalooza, which was a Halloween outreach that they have at the city, and tons of people came by, and we were shining our light in dark places. I had a friend who, this was probably 20 years ago, who belonged to this this bicycle gang called the Scallywags, and they were a bicycle gang that reached out to inner city gangs in downtown Minneapolis and St. Paul, and they would go down there and they'd ride bikes and they'd talk to other bicyclists, and a lot of them were vegan. It was kind of strange. A lot of them were vegans, but they'd go and they'd minister to in all of these dark places to people that needed light shone in dark places. I had a friend who I've talked about him before, who planted a church in East St. Louis, and his main emphasis is for him church starts at night, and he goes out at night and he witnesses to the prostitutes and the drug dealers and all sorts of stuff. But he's shining light in dark places, and I wonder, not only for us as a church, but also for you individually, are you shining the light in dark places? That dark place might be your family. That dark place might be your workplace. But God has called us to shine and to shine our light in dark places. I love the wordage he says. You are, present tense, the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And man, when we shine our light, we give a clearer picture of Jesus. Aaron, could I steal you for a minute? Because I don't know how to use this. could you take a picture of some random person in the crowd? The most handsome or beautiful woman here. Maybe this illustration is going to go awry. That's why I had her do it instead of me. Is it the battery? Okay. Never mind. It had enough juice for one picture. You want to go grab it? Yeah. We took this before service. I don't know if you can see this. It was a picture of me and Michael. But you know when you take a Polaroid initially, it's kind of blurry and you're kind of waiting for it and you're shaking it and you're waiting for it to come up with a good picture. You can pass it around if you want to. You're waiting for it to have a good picture and you kind of see things and it's kind of blurry and distorted. And I was going to use that as an example of how, you know, we, when people look at us, it's meant to give a clear picture of Jesus. And so when we go into dark places, when we go into spots and we illuminate, it's Jesus illuminating through us. It gives people a clear picture of Jesus. I was thinking about the comparison between salt and light. And the worship team can come back up again. Salt is hidden in the earth, but light shines brightly. Salt is tasted, but light is seen. Salt works secretly, but light works openly. Salt works on the inside, but light works on the outside. Let me say that again. Salt is hidden in the earth, but light shines brightly. Salt is tasted, but light is seen. Salt works secretly, but light works in the open. Salt works on the inside, but light works on the outside. See, there's this inward work, but there's also this outward work. There's an inward work, and then there's an outward work. If you lose either one of these, your effectiveness becomes useless, tasteless, and unseen. Salt that loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing. Light that is hidden is really not light at all. So the question I have for you this morning is, where is God calling you to be salt? And where is God calling you this morning to be light? Where is God calling you to be salt? Where is God calling you to be light? Are you blending in with the world around you? Are you hanging out with rotten fruit, blending in with the smell and the sights of things around you? Or are you allowing the Spirit of God, through the power of His Word, to develop spiritual fruit inside of you that's different? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are you hiding your light? Or are you shining your light in dark places? The greatest message that many theologians believe that Jesus ever gave on the Sermon on the Mount, said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Lord, today we come before you. knowing that you are powerful, knowing that you are good, knowing that you are righteous, knowing that you are before us, God. And I believe that we have salt and light in this room. We have people that have been transformed by the power of your might, the people that have accepted you as their personal Savior, people that believe in you and want to pursue you, Father. But God, I pray this morning, maybe there are some people here this morning that have been tasteless in their salt, or maybe they've been hiding their light. And this morning, Father, I pray that you will minister to them. Pray you open up their eyes. God, I pray that you just show them how they can be more effective for the kingdom, Father. God, I pray that you'll speak to them right now and show them dark places where they're meant to shine. Maybe it's places at work or at home, or maybe it's somewhere in the community. Dark places where they're meant to shine, Father. God, I pray right now that you'll show them ways that they can preserve your truth and be people that are people of flavor in the world, but not of this world, God. Today, as we sing this song, may you continue to minister in your holy name.